Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Kuf Aleph, and we are 7 lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Amid Beis. So at the end of yesterday's daf, on the top of the Amid, the Gemara discussed the next one in the line of Ve'elu She'en Lam Chelek Lo'el Maba, and that was Rabbi Akiva's memra of Af HaKoyre B'Svarim Achitzoynim. So the Gemara said, what's Svarim Achitzoynim? Ta'na, we learned it a Braisa, Sifrei Tzedukim, which makes sense. The Tzedukim, the Baisusim, the Minim, these were all people that did not share the same Hashkofis and Ikri Amuna as the Prushim, as the rest of Klal Yisrael did. As a result, if somebody would learn their Svarim, it could be, it would cause them to have the wrong dais, and as a result, Chazal said, if somebody reads their Svarim, Ein Loi Chelek Loi Lamabot. Rabbi Yosef added to that, he said, even someone that reads the Sefer of Ben Sira, even that would make him a Koyer B'Svarim Achitzayim, and he too would have no Chelek Loi Lamabot. But the way Rashi explained, Rabbi Yosef, was not that Ben Sira has Minos, that wasn't the emphasis, but the emphasis was that there's Divrei Havoy, there's a lot of things that are silly, frivolous, and it's for that reason, if somebody wastes his time learning Sefer Ben Sira, that in and of itself could fall into the gather of Svarim Achitzoynim, and that can maybe cause a person to have no Chelek in Olam Haba. Either way, the Gemara said, really, what's so frivolous? What's so silly about Sefer Ben Sira? And the Gemara ended up quoting many psukim or verses in Sefer Ben Sira that took us to the bottom of the oven, and now we're up to the very last verse. It says, Al Teitzer Tzoras Machar. Ben Sira said that you shouldn't worry about a Tzora that is going to come tomorrow. Because how do you know what's going to happen today? And it could be something will happen to you today that will make tomorrow irrelevant. So Ben Sira said something very wise, that people are constantly worried about things that are going to happen in the future. And Ben Sira said, do you know, you have a guarantee that you're even going to be around in the future? He says, worry about now. It doesn't really make sense to be worrying about what's going to happen in the future. Because Shem Olamachrei Nenu, maybe you're not going to be around tomorrow. Maybe Mashiach will come tomorrow. Anything could happen. It's interesting that there's a line, I think it's attributed to the brother of the Maral, who said, He'ovar ayin, ve'he'osid adayin, v'hoivek herif ayin, dago minayin. Which is half of really what Ben Sira was saying. Ben Sira said, He'osed adayin. He took it to the next level. He said, if you think about it, the past happened already. The future didn't happen yet. But that's essentially what Ben Sira was saying. Ben Sira said, Kol yimei ani ram. All the days of an ani are bad. Says the Gemara, Ben Sira oimer af leiloi. So Shlomo HaMelech said, Kol yimei ani ram. Ben Sira said, not only the days of an ani are bad, but the nights as well. Why? B'shval gagim gagoi. Because his roof is lower than the other roofs. Ubimroim harim karma. In his karam, his vineyard is higher, it's taller than the other vineyard. So what? Mimkar gagim legagoy. Being that his roof is lower than everybody else's roof, so when it rains, the water goes from everybody else's roof and ends up landing on, he's the one with all the floods. Umayafa karma lekromim. But at the same time, his karam is taller than everybody else's karam. So when wind comes, what happens to the soil on his kerem? Ends up blowing on everybody else's kerem. So he has the worst of both worlds. Bottom line is, Ben Sira said, Shlomo HaMelech, Kol Yimei Ani Roim, only the days of an Ani are bad. As if to say, at night he's okay. At night he's just as bad, because when it rains at night, he ends up having floods. And when it is windy at night, some of the offer from his kerem ends up blowing away. The bottom line is, it's not only the days of the ani that are bad, but the nights of the ani as well. Simin zera rova misharshi chanina tuvyo yana yofa yoicha merachim Yeshua mekatzer. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Zeira Amar Rav, Ma'idik Siv Koyimei Ani Roim. What's the pasuk that says all the days of an ani are bad? Ilu Bali Talmud. It's referring to people that learn Gemara. V'toyv leiv mishta tamid. Ilu Bali mishta. So Koyimei Ani Roim, that's a person that walks around suffering. All the days of the ani are bad. V'toyv leiv mishta tamid. This is a person for sleep that get the tug. Everything is great. So the one that's suffering, said Rav Zeira in the name of Rav, that's referring to the Bali Talmud. V'toyv leiv mishta tamid ilu Bali mishta. How so? So Rashi says, because Gemara is kasha lilmoy. It's not so easy to learn. Miroif kushyois v'sugyois sheyesh boy. Mishnah, flip side, is Neichel Lomay. It's very easy to learn Mishnayis. It's very difficult to learn Gemara. So someone that learns Gemara, that's what he does. He's Kol Yimei Ani Roim. Someone that learns Mishnayis, he's a Toiv Leiv Mishta Tomei. Rav Amar Ibcha. Rav said just the opposite. punkfaker. Someone that learns Gemara, he's v'toiv lev mishta tamid. Someone that learns Mishnayis, he's kol yemei ani iran. V'ayinu damar ha-mishashim, ishmei d'rav, v'mayi d'chsev masiyah avonim ye'otzev behem. If somebody tries to make fire from stone, ye'otzev behem. It's going to be difficult for him. That's referring to the Bali Mishnah. U'bekei ye'etzim yisachim behem. If somebody tries making fire from wood, just the opposite, elu Bali tamid. What was Rava trying to say? Rava was saying it's true that when you learn Gemara, it's difficult, but at the same time, you walk away with something. You learn Gemara, you finish Masechtas, you do a daf every day, right? It's great, it accumulates, it compiles. Before you know it, you have a lot to show for yourself. So he said, it's true, it's not easy. You're a Bekeya Eitzin, but at the same time, Yisachim Behem, you're going to end up with fire, you're going to end up with something good. Mishnayis, maybe you're not as toiling as much as you are as when you're learning Gemara, but you're still toiling, and what are you left with? You're a Masiyah Avonim, you're trying to make fire from wood. You don't walk away with as much Lamaisa from learning Mishnayis as you do with you learning Gemara. And this is in line with something that you find in Gemara. It's cited to other places in Shas that there were people that were Bali Mishnah, they were Bali Mikra, and they were Bali Gemara. And the Bali Mishnah weren't allowed to paskin halachas because even though they knew Torah Shebaal Peh, in contrast to the Bali Mikra that just knew Tanakh, but at the same time, their ideas were somewhat limited. The Bali Talmud, they had to put in extra effort. They were the real London. There's nothing to talk about. But at the same time, they had more to show for themselves. So on the one hand, you could look at it and say, oh, wow, the Bali Mishnah, they don't work so hard. So they're the V'toyv Lev Mishnah Talmud. Rava says, I choose to look at it just the opposite. It's true they don't work as hard, but they also don't have that much to show for themselves. The Bali Talmud, they work much harder. So from that standpoint, kol yimei ana yiroyim, but they're a bekeya eitzim yisachim behem. They have fire. Look at what they accomplish. So from the accomplishment perspective, sometimes you have to put the effort in, but at the end of the day, you have what to show for yourself. So who's the yimei ana yiroyim? Someone that has a bad wife. That's someone that's an istinus. Someone that's an istinus, everything makes him uncomfortable, so it's difficult. He's a kol yumei ani roi. Someone that's daita yofa, everything's good, everything is fine, nothing bothers him. So he's a toiv lev mishta tamid. Rabbi Yechonon amar kol yumei ani roi zeh rachmoni. The toiv lev mishta tamid zeh achzari. So it's a little counterintuitive. When someone's a rachmoni, so every time he hears about a tzara, he hears about something that somebody's dealing with, so it bothers him. So it's a very nice midah. It's the midah of a yid, but he's kol yumei ani roi. Someone that's an achzar, it's terrible. But at the same time, the toiv lev mishta tamid, nothing ever bothers him. So from that standpoint, that's the silver lining. Reb Shulman Levi says, "Kol yemein ani roim zeshe daitei k'tzara v'toiv lev mishne tamid zeshe daitei rechava." Rashi says two pshat and what that means. But the ikur pshat in Rashi is daitei k'tzara is somebody that is far daiget. He has daiges. Mason lelibe kol daiges chaveri v'doyek al kol masha asad lavayala. So someone that's always worried, he's a kol yemein ani roim. Someone that's daitei rechava, he's not worried. You know, he lives with the motto of ha'aver ayin va'asad adayin va'hoyve k'erif ayin dagamin ayin. That person is a toiv lev mishnah tov. I'm Yeshua ben Levi. Kol yimei ani iroyim. Is that true? Va'ikish shabbos is v'yabim toivim. How can you tell me all the days of an ani are bad? What about Shabbos v'yontiv? Says Rashi. She'ein lecha ani b'yisrael, she'ein le madanim. Shabbos v'yontiv, every single yid has madanim. You see from here that there was no such thing as a yid that didn't have what he needed for Shabbos. The tzibur would make sure that everybody had for Shabbos. To the point, Rabbi Shulman Levi was able to ask it as a kasha. Kol yumei ani roim. What about Shabbos v'yantiv? So the Gemara says, true, he has food for Shabbos. It's not raw from the standpoint that he doesn't have what to eat. But kiddushmul, omer shmul, shinui veses, tchilas, choyli meayin. That when a person changes his routine, it can cause him sometimes to have issues in his stomach. Who said this? Shmuel. What was Shmuel? A doctor, right? Look out for it. You're always going to see this. So Shmuel said that he saw that when people changed their schedule and they started doing something differently, it caused stomach problems. But the bottom line is, Shinu Veses, Tchilas Chayla Mayayin. So the Ani doesn't eat the whole week, and all of a sudden Shabbos, he sits down to a Suda. So that's also Kol Yumei Ani Rav. Not because he's not eating, but because of the Chayla Mayayin. Tanu Rabban and Akari Pasu Shashir Ashirim. If somebody reads a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, va'oisei oisei kemin zemer, and he turns it into a song. Or v'hakoyrei pasuk bebeis mishtois b'lois mani. Or if somebody reads a pasuk at a base mishta, at a party, but the pasuk is not relevant to the davar be'itai. It's not relevant to what's going on in the world at that time. Says the Gemara, those two people are mevi rola oilam. So first, let's define what these two things are. Hakoyri pasuk shal shir ashirim va'osei osei kimin zemer. Says Rashi, shekoyri b'negine acheres she'enu nakutba. Meaning, if you opened up a shir ashirim right now, there is a nigin. What's the niggin? It's the trop. But this person is singing Shir HaShirim, but he made up his own song. Says Rashi, Afal Pisha Mishir HaShirim, who the Ikra is Shir. It's called Shir HaShirim. It's literally the song of songs. Asr La'soysoykim in Shir Ela B'Kriyasa. The only niggin that you're allowed to sing Shir HaShirim with is the niggin that we have the Messiah, the trap. But other than that, you can't make another song because you're making light of it. You're actually acting as if what Shir HaShirim is a song. And we know that Rabbi Kiva said, all the Svarim are Kodesh, and Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kadashim. It's all a mashal to the relationship between us and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. But the bottom line is, if someone's Kodesh Pasuk Shal Shir HaShirim, that's the first thing the Brisa mentions. The second thing is, if someone reads a Pasuk in a base Mishnah B'lo Yizmanoi, so what does that mean? We have to see the Rashi inside. Again, the mace of Ayena, this person is holding a glass of wine and he wants to give a toast. And before he gives this toast, starts cracking jokes. But the jokes that he cracks are somewhat Divrei Torah related. The Kairi Psukim Bekol Ram, he reads Psukim really loud, because he wants to get people to laugh. So if he does that, we're going to see in a moment, it's not a good thing. But the emphasis is, Vakairi Pasik Bebeis Mishtois Beloiz Manoi. What does that mean? Says Rashi. If you would do this, bismanoi, al hamishtek, you're going to yontif. Let's say it's yontif, and noitel kais biyadei. But oimer alav divrei agado psukim in yonei shoyim. Maybe tovit loyelos. So I've never seen that out of suda. So the host is going to say it's Dvar Torah, but he's going to lift his glass of wine and give a 15-minute sermon. But either way, the point is that if somebody makes Shir HaShirim into a song, or if someone's Kairi Pasuk Bebeis Mishtois, but it's Beloiz Mano, it's not Divrei Agado that's related, let's say, to the Yontif that it happens to be on that day, but it's random Divrei Torah, and Rashi emphasizes that he's laughing, it's Divrei Schoik. What happens? Maybe Rolo Oilam, Mipnesh, a Torah Chegeg Asak. You know what the Torah does? It dons a sack. Vay medals of Nea Kodesh Baruch Hu, Vay Meres Lefana, Ribbonish Oilam, Asuni Banecha Kikinor, Shemenagnim Boy Weitzim. You know what your sons have turned me into? They turned me into a kinar. They turned me into an instrument. Just like you play music with an instrument, so that's what I am. I'm just some super duper musical instrument. Oh my Lord, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Biti, what do you want them to do? They're saying Torah. Why is that a problem? Amar Lefanav, so the Torah response, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'll tell you what I want them to do. In Bali Mikrahein, if they know how to learn Mikra, Yasku B'Torah B'Neviim B'Viksuv. In Bali Mishnehem, Yasku B'Mishnah V'Alachas V'Agodas. In Bali Talmudhem, Yasku B'Hilchas Pesach B'Pesach, B'Hilchas Atzeres B'Atzeres, B'Hilchas Chag B'Chag. But to say random and use it as a vehicle for schoik as part of their mishta, that's something that's wrong. Hey, Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Mishum Rav Shimon ben Chananya, Kolav Kairi Pasuk Bezmanoi. If somebody reads a pasuk Bezmanoi, maybe toiv le'olam, he brings toiv to the world. Shenemar v'dover be'itoi matoiv. If you say the appropriate dvar Torah in the appropriate time, then it's dover be'itoi matoiv. What does matoiv mean? Maybe toiv le'olam, it's a good thing. So before we go weiter, I just want to go back to one ha'ara that we spoke about in yesterday's daf. And that is we had Reish Lakish's memoir, where Reish Lakish said that Kol HaMelamed is ben chaveri Torah, Mala olav akos of kilu asoy, shenemar ve'es hanefesh asher osu b'chara. Meaning at first glance, if you read the literal translation of the words, it sounds like that Avram Avinu had created people. Reish Lakish was bothered with the same kasha that Rabbi Elazar was bothered in the Medrash Rabbah. How is it possible for Avram Avinu to have created somebody? We mentioned the Chidas Kasha. What do you mean? Avram Avinu was the author of Sefer Yetzirah, and you have Gemaras of the Masechta Sanhedrin with the Amirayim. Thousands of years later, they were able to create with the Sefer Yetzirah. So Avram Avinu, the author of Sefer Yetzirah himself, certainly should have been able to do it. We saw Yaakov Ruveni that says that's in fact what it means. And it says, Vanefesh Asher Asu B'charim Lashon Rabin. From here we learn out that a person is not allowed to create with the Sefer Yetzirah himself. That's two people, three people. Who is the other person? Rekeach says it was Shem Ben Noach. But that's not the way Reish Lakish understood it. Reish Lakish said that it means, Kol HaMelamed is Ben Chaveri Torah, Mal Olav Akosov Ki'ilu Asoi. It's kedai to mention, again, only because it's this week's parsha, but it's kedai to mention the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. So if you go through the first parak of Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, especially now with these parshias, to get into the feel of it, it's something that's very worth going through. And the Rambam talks about how Avram Avinu was born to Terach. Terach was an Oved Avodah Zarah, so Avram Avinu wasn't sent to the right yeshivas at a very young age, and he had to figure things out by himself. And the Rambam says he started figuring it out. Uben Arboim Shana Hikra Avram Azbayri. Avram Avinu figured out, he came to that Akara that there was a Bayri Yolam when he was 40 years old. Right, it says 40, it's a Gemara. Everyone knows the Gemara. At the end of the second paragraph of Masechtis Nedarim, where the Gemara says that he was three. Ekev Asher Shama Avram B'Koyli. Ekev is B'Gematria 172. Avram lived 175 years. He was Shama B'Koyli for the 172 of the 175 years. So Pashup Shad is Avram started being Makar Boire when he was three, but he didn't fully develop what he needed to know until he was 40. It's a process. Amun is a process. But says the Rambam, Uben Arbon, Shana Hikar Avram as Boyre. Kibin Shehikar Yoda. Soon as Avram Avinu was Makar, HaKadosh Baruch, Hiskel Bahashiv Chuvais Al Bnei Ur Kazdim, Velarech Dini Moyim, Veloimer Sheinzu Derech Emesh Atam Hochimba. So he set up fellowship programs, discovery seminars, Kiruv, and Avram Avinu started teaching the world the truth. Veshiber Es Hatzlomim. And Avram Avinu was aggressive. He broke Tetzlamen. V'hischelo hidiya lo'om she'in roi lavid elo le'leikaha oylam. V'loi roi l'shtachavoysu l'hakrivu l'naseich k'dei she'yakiru kol ha'brum ha'boim. V'roi la'abed u'l'shaber kol ha'tzurois k'dei she'lo yitu behem. V'cholo'om k'may elu she'in medamim she'in sham elokah elo elos. Avram Avinu goes and he, again, very aggressive. He's breaking Tetzlamen and he's teaching everybody what the truth is. Says the Ram, kimen she'gover aleim b'rayoysov. When Avram Avinu was making sense, and people realized that he was onto something and he was literally going to rock the world. And this was disruptive hashkafa, right? You have disruptive technology. This was very disruptive. The world was steeped. The world was steeped in Avodah Zarah. And now Avraham Avinu came one day and told everybody, Rabbi Isai, we're a bunch of fools. We're completely missing the boat. The king, Nimrod, was going to lose his entire industry. Nasoloi Nes, the Rambam says. He doesn't go into the details of the Nes. We know, of course, what the Nes was. He was thrown into the Kibshon Ha'esh and Orkazdim. He was out. V'yotzol l'char. Avram Avinu left char. We know the details of that away. V'yayim Hashem al Avram lech l'char. That's the beginning of this week's parasha. V'hischa lamoid v'likreis b'kol gadol l'chol ha'am. U'lohidiyam she'yesh alayka echa l'chol ha'olam. V'loi ro'yu lavid. So Avram Avinu leaves charan and he continues doing what he's doing. Listen to the Lashon HaRam. V'yayim mahalich v'koyre u'mekabe tza'am me'ir le'ir u'mimemlocha le'memlocha ad she'egiya le'eretz kanan v'koyre. So we know v'yayim Hashem al Avram lech l'cha. Fast forward, the next thing you know, Avram Avinu's in Eretz Canaan, Vahira Ba'aretz, he goes to Mitzrayim, the Rabban says he was punished. There's two, three, four psukim right in the beginning of Parashas Lech Lecha. But the Rambam says, I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. From where Avram was until Eretz Canaan, Avram Avinu was doing Kiruv wherever he went. Until he finally arrived in Eretz Canaan. So people would come and they would ask him questions. The Rambam says he has tens of thousands of chassidim. V'heim anshei beis Avram. They are the anshei beis Avram. V'shosa l'libam ho'ikar ha'godoy lazeh. And you know what he taught them? This is what he taught them. She'ein sham eloika elo echad. Einoy movadi. That was Avram Avinu's message. V'chiber by svarim, the Rambam says. Not just that, Avram Avinu wrote svarim. So we've been talking about Sefer Yetzirah. Avram Avinu wrote svarim. V'hoidiyoy li'yitzchok benoy. And then he gave over this Messiah to his son Yitzchok. V'yoshav Yitzchok. No one knows this. Melamed. No, I shouldn't say no one. Melamed u'machzer. And Yitzchok Avinu continued. This was a family business. Yitzchok went and he continued doing what his father was doing. Yitzchok idea liyakov umineu lelamed v'yosha melamed umachzer kol anilvin elov. So it wasn't just Avram. Avram is of course the one that's credited v'nefesh hashasa b'charim. But Avram gave this over to his son Yitzchok. Yitzchok gave this over to his son Yaakov. V'yakov avinu lomad bon of kulam. He taught his sons v'hivda Levi umineu roish v'yishivu b'yeshiva lelamed derech Hashem. Lishmar mitzvahs Avram v'tziva es bonov shlo yafsidu b'bnei Levi. And then the Rambam talks about the Yidden ended up going to Mitzrayim, etc., etc. But the Rambam, again, in great detail, going through the idea of Vanefesh Asa B'charen, says a few interesting things. Number one, in Parshas Lech Lecha, Avram Avinu goes from his father's house straight to Eretz Canaan. The truth is, it was a lot of kiruv that was done along the way. Additionally, the Rambam says he had tens of thousands of followers. The Vanefesh Asa B'charen, there's tens of thousands of them. I love him for river voice. Additionally, the Rambam says v'chibre by svarim. Avram Avinu wrote svarim. Not just that, he gave over this Messiah of bringing people closer to Hashem, to his son Yitzchak, Yitzchak did to Yaakov, and this was something that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were all involved in. This was something that was very much a part of the family. But either way, just a little bit of the rest of the story, reading through the Lashon HaRambam in the first parak of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Another theme we spoke a little bit about yesterday was that Kol Melamed is Ben Chaveri Torah Malol Vakasov Ki'ilu Yolta, Kilu Asoi, that you see that Avraham Avinu doesn't just get credit for helping these people, but it's literally as if he created them. And really, there's two ways you can look at it. You can look at it from the standpoint of Avraham Avinu. Wow, he gets credited for having all these children and all these chassidim. Can you imagine the schar that he's going to get one day in Olam Haba? That's from the Makariv's perspective. But what about from the perspective of the people themselves? You see that these people, despite the fact that they grew up being Ovdei Avodah Zarah, but by learning Torah and by buying into what Avraham Avinu was teaching to them, they were able to become new people. They were able to be born again. They were able to recreate themselves. That's exactly what happened. That's the flip side of the same coin. If it's Malol of Akosov Ki'ilu Yoldoi, from the parents' perspective, from the Rebbe's perspective, then what is it from the child's perspective? From the Talmud's perspective, it's as if they were born again. It's interesting. Who's the one that says this in our Gemara? Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish also said in Yevamos, Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph, Gershen is Gayer, is Kekotin Shenoy Ladami. It's Rish Lakish Lishitasei. Rish Lakish himself, by the way, was a Baal Tshuva. So you see this idea that a person that does Tshuva, he could be Kekotin Shenoy Ladami. He could literally become a new person. I once heard, I never saw it inside, but I once heard the Zohar HaKadosh says, Eila told this Noyach, Noyach ish tzaddik. And Rashi asks the kasha, Eilu told us Noyach, Noyach ish tzaddik. Eilu told us Noyach, Shem Cham and Yofes. So Rashi says to Pshatim, Shteit in Zayir HaKadosh, Eilu told us Noyach, Noyach. Noyach wasn't always an ish tzaddik. He became an ish tzaddik. And when he became an ish tzaddik, he was born again. Eilu told us Noyach. You want to know who Noyach gave birth to? Gave birth to Noyach. Noyach was born again. Noyach was recreated to a certain degree. We'll go weiter. Either way, I'm tempted to spend another 10 minutes on this. Zok the Gemara weiter. Where are we? Tanu. Valoichesh al hamakas. Mishnah said, if somebody's loichesh al hamakas and he says, "Kol machlash esadim b'mitzrayim layosam alecha ki ani Hashem roifecho," that too can render a person that he should be an ein loichelik loyim mabal. So what is a lachash? A lachash is an incantation. So once upon a time, the Gemara is full with it. You have it in the Gemara's end of Perek Bameishim, Mesachta Shabbos, but really it comes up in a lot of places in Shas, that people used to recite certain incantations, and by doing that, they were able to heal themselves from certain machlis. So if someone is loichesh ala maka on a wound, and he says a pasuk, such as, for example, Kol ha-machlash asanti b'mitzrayim lo-yosam alecha ki ani Hashem reifecho, ein lo-ichelik lo-ilom haba. Pretty sharp, says the Gemara, Rabbi Eichen, and why? U-beroikin. Because the Mishnah is talking about someone that spits on the wound. Apparently, that's the way it was done. The person that was going to recite this lachash would first spit, and then he would recite the incantation. And the fisha, im maskirim, shem shamayim, ala rakiko. So if you're going to spit, and then you're going to be maskir the shem shamayim, you're disrespecting the shem shamayim. It's for that reason, ein lechelik lelem abo. Itma rav omar, afilu nega teras. Rav said, no, it's not true. Even if a person would say the words nega teras, it doesn't involve the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that in and of itself would render the person ein lechelik lelem abo. B'chanino omar, afilu ba yikra el moshe. Again, even if it doesn't have the shem Hashem, you're still the lechesh alamak. Tanu rabbanu, sochem v'mashem on the topic of a lachash, the Gemara digresses for a moment. So you're allowed to be soch shemen on you, lutzayruch refu on Shabbos, or mamash mashin. You're allowed to massage a part of your body that's hurting you on Shabbos. The loichash and lechishes nechoshim v'nakrovim b'Shabbos. Let's say there's a nochash or an akrov that's attacking you. You're allowed to recite an incantation to stop it in its tracks. We'll see more about that in a moment on Shabbos. Umavir and kli agava ayim b'Shabbos. Additionally, you're allowed to put a keli on your eye if you're having troubles with your eye. So you're allowed to put a keli on your eye on Shabbos. What's the chiddush? There's no problem of Hilchos Shabbos, Simen Shin Chav Ches. You don't have the issue of Refuah B'Shabbos. So we know you're not allowed to be involved in Tzarchei Refuah B'Shabbos. The reason is because once upon a time, they didn't have medication like we have today. So if somebody needed medication, you would take plants, herbs, samimonim. They would be sheikhik it. They would grind it. That's something you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. That's an Issa Deiraisa, one of the Lama Tas Malachas. So the Chachamim said that even if you had it prepared from before Shabbos, we're afraid Gzeira Mishum Shchika Samimonim, you may come to add or do it on Shabbos. So the bottom line is we say that you're never allowed to take medication on Shabbos. Stating that, says the Braisa, these three Inyone refuah did not involve samimonim at all. If someone's going to get a massage, you're going to put oil on your body, or if you're going to take a keli and put it on your eye, or you're going to recite some sort of incantation. These are things that don't involve samimonim at all. Being that they don't involve samimonim at all, so for that reason, it's not going to be also on Shabbos. When is the shoe that you're allowed to put a keli on your eye on Shabbos? But kli anitl, that's a keli that you're allowed to carry on Shabbos. It's not muktzah. If the keli was muktzah, then obviously it'd be also. Additionally, you're not allowed to take requests from Shaden to assist you with Yinyoni Refuah on Shabbos. So apparently that was another thing that people used to do. They would tap into Shaden. That's something you can't do on Shabbos. That you can't do on a Tuesday either. Halacha k'Rav Yosi, that you're not allowed to go to Shaden for Refuah, even B'chol. By the way, the reason Rav Yosi said it's also, it's not because of Kishuv per se. For some reason, Shaden and Kishuv aren't always synonymous. But the reason is Mishum Sakona, because Shadim are dangerous. And you know, once you engage them in a conversation, you never know where things are going to go. And the Gemara says, if you're not sure, I'll tell you. The Ibla Ba'ariz, the Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, was once swallowed in an Erez, in a cedar tree. It was Abdalei Nisa, and a miracle happened to him. Paka Arzo Paltis. He got involved with a shade. The next thing he knows, he's inside a tree. A miracle happened that the tree threw him out. But the bottom line is, what you learn from that story is that it's not so smart, not so safe to be involved with Shaitan. Tana Rabbanim, Sochim Mashrim Neimayim B'Shabbos. So you're allowed to massage or anoint yourself with oil on Shabbos. Ubevat Shelo Yaseh Kederuch Shoyz B'Chol. You have to be careful not to do it in the same way you do it during the week. Hey Chiyav, what should you do? Reb Chanina Amar Soch V'Achach Mashmish. First you should put the oil on and then massage it, which I guess is fakert from the way it was ordinarily done. Do it kalach or yad, do it with a shinoi. Just do the two things at the same time. If you do the two things at the same time, that's the shinoi, that's the kalach or yad, that's when it's going to be okay. Tanu Rabbanon, sorei shemen, v'sorei beitzin, mutarin l'shobem. So what are sorei shemen and sorei beitzin? So if you look in Rashi, Rashi says, yesh maisa shedim, there were people that used to do things with shedim, sheshoyelin al yedei shemen. So they would request from the shade to assist them in something that they were doing, but the medium that they would use to access the shadim was oil. The kari lahu, and these shadim were called sorei shemen, masters of oil. The yesha shoyel b'shvei sher shel beitz. Some would do the same thing with the shell of an egg. The kari lahu sorei beitzin. Either way, sorei shemen v'sorei beitzin mutarin lishol behem. You're actually halachically allowed to go try to tap into that resource and see how it goes. Ella, it's not advisable, the Pnei Shem Echazvin, because those shadim lie. They don't tell the truth, and they may mislead you. Loichashin al shemen shabikli, vein loichashin al shemen shabiyat. FYI, says the Gemara, that people that do consult with Sari Shemen, they make sure that the shemen is in a kli, but if the shemen is in someone's hand, for example, it's not inside a keli, they don't do it. Lefichach, it has a halachic nafkemino, sochin mi shemen shabiyat. If a person is offered shemen, and it's in somebody else's hand, you could take it and you could put it on your body. But the ain't sochin mi shemen shabikli. If somebody offers you shemen in a kli, don't touch it. Because maybe somebody was loichesh, that shemen shabikli, and we said that once you're loichesh with them, they could be dangerous, the mechazvim, but they could also be dangerous. It's for that reason, don't just take oil that's in a keli, just make sure you know where this is from and that nobody ever did any shadim with it, because it could be dangerous. The Gemara tells a story about this as well. They gave him oil in a keli. Shaf, he anointed himself with it. And the next thing you know, his face broke out. He went outside. There was a woman that saw him. Amr, she said, I see that the shade chamos is on you. So she did what she did. The itzi, and somehow, by doing that, he had a refuah shleima. The pasuk says, why are we mentioning this pasuk? Because that was the Mishnah's example of a pasuk that a person is not allowed to recite al amakra. Right? How do you understand the pasuk? Everyone knows the pasuk. Hashem tells the Yidden that all the machlos that I gave the Mitzrim, the ten machlos, etc. Why? A roife is someone that heals machlos. But if the pasuk says, kol amachla loy asim alecha, then what do you need Ki'ani Hashem Reifecha for? V'chimiyachas shaloi son, refuah lama. Amalei. So he told him back, Kochi Yom Rabbi Yech, I'll tell you Rabbi Yechon, and said, Nikruzet mi'atzmei nidrash. The way you have to read the pasuk is as follows. Shenema v'yemim, shumayi tishma l'koyel Hashem alekecha. then kolamachla shesamti b'mitzrayim lo yasam alecha. Meaning, if someone is going to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo yasam alecha. Im tishma lo yasam, v'im loy tishma. Even if you're not going to listen, we're awesome. So you're not going to merit lo yasam alecha, but afal pikin ki ani Hashem reifecha. So the idea of ani Hashem reifecha is not contingent on the first part of the pasuk. It's the lo yasam alecha that's contingent on the first part of the pasuk. So im shemaya tishma lo koyel Hashem alekecha, then kolamachla shesamti b'mitzrayim lo yasam alecha. Period. But regardless of whether you do listen or don't listen, meaning you didn't listen, and that's why kolamachla ashasanti b'mitzrayim was asam alecha, still ani Hashem reifecha. So just before we go weiter, one ha'orah regarding this last idea. So we just mentioned lechosha, the idea of incantation. So it's interesting that yesterday we were talking about the lekutei maharil. Right, we spoke about a few lekutei maharils that we mentioned this when we were learning Masechta Sanhedrin. So there's another Lekut in Ariel that comes up with regards to the Lechashim, and that is in Simen Shin Lamed Vav. It's Dinei HaRoyfei Uboi Gimel Se'ifen. So there's three Se'ifen in Shulchan Aruch that talk to the doctor. Dinei HaRoyfei Uboi Gimel Se'ifen. So if you learn Gemara's, the end of Perek Bame'isha, and again, as we mentioned, many Gemara's in Shas talk about how once upon a time, if somebody had some sort of machla, you were able to recite an incantation, and that somehow would beget a refuah. Stating that, it's Yadua, that it's not something that we do today. And the makar to that is the maril in the Lekutei Maril. Rabbi Kiveger brings it in the beginning of Simen Shin Lamed Vav in Yerideya. The maril b'likutem shebesoif ha-sefer Isa v'zeh l'shoinai. Omer lonu maril. Kol ha-refuah shebekol ha-talmud osu l'nasi soisav. All the refuahs that are mentioned in the Gemara, a person is not allowed to try. Mishum de'en adam yochel lamed al-ikron. Because it's very hard to get it right, to do it in the proper way. V'chi lo yala b'yodam. And if a person is going to do it and he's going to get it wrong, yelagu. People are going to laugh and they're going to be malagu. No, that, there's just one exception to the rule. If somebody has a bone that's stuck in his throat, maybe may oisay min, you should bring a bone of the same min. Rotzaloy ma may oisay min etzem v'yanichulei al katkadei. You should put it on your forehead. V'yoymer hachi, and you should say the following: Chad chad noches bala, bala noches chad chad. Said the maril v'halacha shazeh bodeku menusa. So we have a Messiah that we're not allowed to get involved in all the refuahs that I mentioned in the Gemara, but at the same time, this refuah is an exception to the rule, and this refuah is something that we're actually allowed to do. You know, it's interesting that the ikar sugya of refuahs in the Gemara is in the beginning of Perek Misha Achsai, so that's all real. Like, it felt like Agadat, until we started learning Perek Chelik. I think it's 2.5 blot. So you have Agadat the Gemara in the beginning of Perek Misha Achsai, where the Gemara talks about all these different refuahs that they used to do back in the times of Chazal. The Marsha, the end of his Chedushei Agadis on that whole sugya, says that he believes that those refuahs mentioned in the Gemara were the refuahs mentioned in the Sefer HaRefuahs, the Chizkiyo of Perek Chelik fame, had, and that he hid. So we know that Chizkiyo had a sefer of voice and he hid it because people weren't davening to Hashem anymore. They weren't having betochen. So it says the Marsha, it's those refuahs right there. So fake the Marsha kasha. Oy bazoy, if Chizkiyo hid it, and he hid it because the world wasn't supposed to have it, so why did Ravina and Ravashi expose them? Now why do we have it here in the Gemara? So he says that the truth is, Yechidim could have it. There's no reason for Yechidim not to have it. It's just the masses that aren't supposed to have it. Because the whole reason not to have it is it's going to ruin, potentially, your betochen. A person's going to have an issue. Instead of davening to Hashem, he's going to be b'teach in the refuah. That's the whole emphasis of hiding it. For the chosh of the people, it's not an issue. So the Marsha says that really, it was only hidden, not for no one to have it. It was hidden so that not everybody should have it, but Yechidim should have it. And it's for that reason that it was written in the Gemara, but like the Maril says, today we don't know how to do it. So unfortunately, today nobody has it. But as it relates to whether you could have it or can have it, that's mentioned over there. There's one other Ara on the topic of Alachash. So we mentioned over here that you're allowed to be Loichesh Alachash on Shabbos, the Nechoshim V'Akrovim. So you have a snake coming after you, and you know how to recite some Lachash, you're allowed to do it, to stop the snake in its tracks. Why is that a Chiddush? I'll tell you why it's a chiddush. The reason it's a chiddush is because there's a malacha called tzad. You're not allowed to capture an animal. So maybe when you stop the nachash in its tracks, maybe you're being over tzad. I'll read you the lashon Shulchan Aruch. It's brought down in Hilchos Shabbos, Simen Shinchav Ches, Sivkot Memhei. It's a long simen. Loichashin al nachashin va'akrabim, b'shvil shalo yaziku, ve'ein b'kach mishum tzeda. It's a lashon ha-mechaber. So the solka daitachamina should be tzad. Kamash one, it's not. So why isn't it tzad? Why isn't it tzad, right? It's a good kasha. Says the Mishnah Brura, afal gafta al yedei halachash eno yochal lozuz mimkoimoy atche nuchal letoifsoy mikomokim muter de ein zet sida tivis. Because you did sod, but you didn't do it al pi derech hateva. L'choshem, even for people that know how to do it, it's still an inyan seguli. It's still somewhat out of the ordinary. It's so much like derech hateva, and the only time sod is aser if you capture this animal al pi derech hateva. But if you do it like derech hateva, in that context, it's not going to be aser. And the truth is, yesh lachgar. We won't go into this morning, but yesh lachgar chakira 101. We're seeing a chiddush here that if somebody does a melech shabbos like tzad, but he does it shaloi kederech hateva, the halacha is he's not going to be chayav. Is it a halacha in hilchas shabbos? Because in Shabbos we know meleches machsheves asur Torah. So just like there's a concept of shinu and kalach hayad in Shabbos, if somebody does something shaloi kederech hateva, so it's considered a kalach hayad. So for that reason, it would be okay. Moshe l'mad avadayim. The Gemara talks about if somebody cooks b'chami tveria. It's a Gemara parak kira. I'm a vashel b'chami tveria. So is it asur? Is it not asur? Because you're doing it shal. You're not cooking in the way that people usually cook. See, even if the chami tveria are so hot that you can boil an egg in it, but if you would do that on Shabbos, would you be over? Would it not be over? If somebody, if the sun is so hot, you put something outside and you're able to make something cook to the point where it was a sheer bishul on Shabbos. Right, years ago, we spoke out raid about, it's before that you weren't allowed to cook the mud on Shabbos. We weren't allowed to cook them. It's a pasuk in the Torah. Toifa eifu v'esash devashul v'ajelu. Do everything today because mocha Shabbos. A pasuk in Parshas Bashalach and the Parshas Haman. Right? That's what the pasuk is mentioned. So the Velt asks Akasha that Rashi says in Parshas Baloichscha regarding the man. Ma'ilam layarda l'kteira. No one cooked the man. They didn't cook the man. They thought about what they wanted the man to taste like. So if you wanted it to taste cooked, it tastes cooked. You wanted it to taste medium rare, it tasted medium rare. You wanted it well done, it was well done. It was all in your mind. So if it was all in your mind, vas pas pishul b'chlal. It sounds like maybe it would have been a problem. But the pashtus is no. If you do a melech shabbos, you do a chini kalachi yaretz mutter. So if you do this like a derech hatep, or maybe it's more yisoydi. It has nothing to do with hilchas shabbos. It's more related to that if I do something, but I do it like a derech hateva. Here's the lumdus. The chalais is not nesiyah. To me, b'chlal. My maisa, the outcome of what I do, is my responsibility to the extent that it's a direct scientific quid pro quo as a result of what it is I did. So if I throw something and it damages, so al pi derech hateva, when you throw, it's going to damage just based on the laws of physics and gravity, etc. So it's for that reason that I'm going to be responsible. But if this is something that's lamaila of the laws of physics, it's lamaila mederech hateva, it could be the outcome is not nisiyaches to mi b'chal. Moshe l'mad avadayim. If somebody would kill somebody with one of the shemes akdoshim, let's say someone knows how to use one of the shemes, he would kill somebody. Is he retzeh? Would he be chayv misa? Either way, something to ponder. Zok the Gemara Vayter. Omar Rabbi Bar Bar Chano. Kishachola Rabbi Eliezer. When Rabbi Eliezer was sick, nichnesu talmidav levakre. So this is really the rest of the story of a Gemara that we learned together. It was on Yontif, but a Gemara we learned together at the end of Perek Arba Misas. Rabbi Eliezer was famously put in Cherem, so much so that his Talmidim all stopped coming to him. They stopped going to learn Torah from him. And the Gemara says that they heard he was very sick, and they went to Bimavaka Choylo, and Rabbi Eliezer spoke very sharply to them. He told them, where were you till now? He said, we were busy. Really? If you were so busy, then why are you coming now? He spoke very, very sharp to the point where he told them, Tamiyani, it would be a chiddush to me in Tamuso Mises Atzmachem, that if you're going to die a natural death. Rabbi Kiva said, what about me? He said, Shalchah Kasha Michal Kulam, yours is going to be worse. Rabbi Eliezer ends up dying at that moment. So these, we're going to learn now two Gemaras that talk about Gishachol Rabbi Eliezer. This is Ba'achris Yom, when his Talmidim finally came to visit him and what the exchange was. A fascinating Gemara. Gishachol Rabbi Eliezer, came to me back to Chayla. Amar lahem. So Eliezer tells us Talmidim, Chama Aza Yesh Ba'olam. Says Rashi, I could tell that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really angry at me. And it's for that reason he's caused me to be so sick. Talmidim heard that, they started crying. Rabbi Akiva Mesachik. Rabbi Akiva was one of Rabbi Eliezer's Talmidim, and he started laughing. Amar lahem. They told Rabbi Akiva, Lamat the Mesachik. What's so funny? Amar lahem. I don't understand why you're crying. They told me, you're not sure why we're crying. Rabbi Eliezer says, Sefer Torah. He's Shari B'Tzar, but Lord Nifke, we shouldn't cry. It's precisely why I'm left. Because as long as I see our Rabbi, who's has it good in this world. His yayin isn't spoiling. Amarti, I was afraid. I was worried that maybe Rabbi Eliezer got his Olam Haba in Olam Hazeh. But for Achshav Shani Roi Rebbe Bitzar, but now that I see Rebbe's Bitzar, Ani Sameach, I'm happy. Because I realize that all the reward for everything Rebbe Eliezer accomplished on this world, he's going to end up getting in Olam Haba. Om Aloy. So Rebbe Eliezer turns to Rebbe Akiva and he says, Akiva, Klum Chisarti Min HaTorah Kula. You're assuming, Rabbi Akiva, that I did certain averis that I'm going to have to be punished for. And I can be punished in the next world, I can be punished on this world. So you're happy that you see that I'm getting it on this world, so in the next world not. As far as I know, klum chisarti min ha-Torah kulo, on my lawyers, Rabbi Akiva told his Rebbe, limadetonu rabbeinu ki there's no such thing as a person not doing an aver. Taisus kasha, Shabbos non heyamid beis. There are four people that died. Be'et yeshal nachash. There's no such thing as a person. Taisus most people, but there were a few exceptions to the rule. But either way, this is Rabbi Akiva told Rabbi Eliezer. Tanu Rabba on another gemara. Shcholi Rabbi Eliezer realized it was sick. Nichzu Rabbis came levakrei. There were four skating that came to be levakrei him. Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Lozman, Azai, Rabbi Akiva. Neder Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon spoke first. And he turns to Rabbi Eliezer and he says, "Toiv atel Yisrael mitipa shal gshamim." He says, "Rabbi, you're so important to us. You're as important to us as rain is to the world. As a matter of fact, you're more important than rain." Shetipa shal gshamim ba'ilu mazev, Rabbi ba'ilu mazev ba'ilu ma'ba. Neder Rabbi Yeshua va'amar, "Toiv atel Yisrael yoyse migal golcham." You're more important to Klal Yisrael than the sun is to the world. Shegal gulcham ba'ilu mazeh, v'rebi ba'ilu mazeh, ba'ilu ma'ba. Ned, Rebbe Loz ben Azari, v'am Rebbe Loz Azari got up and he said, Toiv atel Yisrael yoysem aveh. You're more important to Klal Yisrael than a father and a mother is to a child. Sha'aveh ba'ilu mazeh, v'rebi ba'ilu mazeh, ba'ilu ma'ba. And then finally, Ned, Rebbe Akiva v'am, Rebbe Akiva got up. And he said, Chavivim Yisurim. He says, Ach gevaldik, I'm so happy. It's so good that you're suffering, or that suffering is such a good thing. It's so precious, so beloved. Amar Lahem, so Rabbi Eliezer heard what all his Talmidim said, and he was the most nispal with what Rabbi Akiva said. So he says, Samchuni, help me get up a little bit. Ve'eshma divrei Akiva Talmidi. I want to hear the words of my Talmud Akiva, Sha'amar, who just said, Chavivim Yisurim. He said, Yisurim is a good thing. Amar Lahem, Akiva Zumi Nailacha. He said, Akiva, how do you know this? Amar, he said, Mikrani Noirish. I know it like everything in Chelik. I know it from Nach. Ben Shnei Mesri Shana Benasha B'molche. Benasha was 12 years old when he ascended to the throne, when he took over the Malchus from his father Chizkiyo. And he was king for 55 years. Four words that completely describe the 55-year reign of Menashe. In the pasuk says, so listen to Rabbi Akiva's observation. He said that we know that who authored Mishle? Chizkiyo. It's the Mishalom of Shlomo, but Chizkiyo and his people put it together. And we learned the Gemaras last week, the amount of Torah that went on during the Dor of Chizkiyo. So say Rabbi Akiva, I don't understand. Chizkiyo taught Torah to the whole world, and he didn't teach Torah to his own son Menashe. How could Menashe have been Vayasra b'Enei Hashem? He was a product of the greatest generation ever. So every little child knew Kala Torah Kulo, Tum is Tyrus, and punked Menashe? Chizkiyo's own son didn't learn Torah. Ella, says the Gemara, Mikol Torah Shetorach Bay, Umikol Amal Shamal Bay. It's Pashid he taught him Torah. It's Pashid that he tried. But Loi Hello Lamutav. It didn't work. But you know what did finally work, said Rabbi Akiva, Yisurim. Shenema, because the pasuk says, Vayidaber Hashem al Menashe v'alami v'lo yikshivu. Vayovi Hashem al Yemen Sori Yatzov v'ashol al Melech Ashur v'yilkudu as Menashe v'achoychim v'yasru ben chushtim v'ayolichu b'avela. Melech Asher descends upon Menashe. We'll see the story of Menashe later. But this Melech Asher comes. He descends upon Eretz Yisrael, takes Menashe with him into exile. Menashe finally gets it because of all the Yisurim that he has. He davens to Hashem. Hashem listens to his tefillos. Menashe ends up doing tshuva. He finally realizes. So Rabbi Akiva said, you know what my takeaway from the story? There's so much you can learn from Chizkiyo and Menashe. You know what my takeaway is? Holomadita, you see from here, Shechavivim Yisurim. You see that Yisurim are gevaldik. You know why? Because look at what it did to Menashe. Menashe didn't do tshuva his whole life. But then he had Yisurim. His father Chizkiyo couldn't get him to do tshuva. But Yisurim were able to get him to do tshuva. So he said Chavivim Yisurim. So Chaim Shmulevitz, in a classic sicha, he says that Rabbi Eliezer is sick. It's Ba'achrus Yomov. And his four prized Talmidim come to be Mevakel Chayla, to part with their Rebbe. Reb Tarfon, Reb Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva. And they all get up very formally and they say something in the presence of their Rebbe. Neder Rabbi Tarfon v'Amar. Tarfon spoke first. Perhaps he was the most chashev at the time. So Rabbi Tarfon speaks first and he says, Toiv ato liYisrael mitipa shel geshamim. He says, Rebbe, you're more important to Klal Yisrael than rain. Why did he say that? Says Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz, presumably because he was trying to be Ma'ir Rach Meshamayim. He was trying to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need Rabbi Eliezer. We can't lose Rabbi Eliezer. Do you understand how much Klal Yisrael needs Rabbi Eliezer? Toiv ato liYisrael mitipa shel geshamim. And in that same vein, then Rabbi Yeshua v'Amar, he says, you're more important than the sun. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, you're more important than a father and a mother. If that's so, what did Rabbi Akiva say? Chaviv and Yisurim? What does that mean? And how is that consistent with what the first Tanoim said? Said Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz, a Dover Nifla. He said that the Tanoim were all trying to make a point that it's terrible that Rabbi Eliezer is in pain right now. Because the fact Rabbi Eliezer is in pain, we're losing God and all the Torah and everything that Rabbi Eliezer is able to teach us. Rabbi Akiva says, I see it a little bit differently. Rabbi Akiva, who is the ultimate optimist, he was always able to see a silver lining in every single situation. Said Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Eliezer, I think it's very much bahashkocha that you're in pain right now. You know why? Because you know when a person needs a Rebbe most? When a person is biyasurim, when a person is going through a difficult situation, when a person's suffering, that's when he needs perspective. That's when he needs a mentor. That's when he needs someone that should be able to show him how he's supposed to take it, how he's supposed to handle it, how he's supposed to deal with it with his family. That's when a person needs a Rebbe most. And said Rabbi Akiva, I believe that the Eivish is giving you yasurim because you, as our Rebbe, are going to show us now how a person is supposed to handle a situation when he has yasurim. Chaviv and yasurim in the same vein. All the Tanab, the Talmid Rabbi Eliezer, they were trying to bring out how important Rabbi Eliezer was. Rabbi Eliezer, you're like the sun, you're like the moon, you're like this, you're like that. Said Rabbi Akiva, I agree. Rebbe is very, very important. And you know why? I think that's why he has Yisurim. Because right now, Rabbi Eliezer, you're going to show us how a person is supposed to handle Yisurim. You know, the Chassidim say a story. The Chedushi Arim lost all his children during his lifetime. He had 13 children and they buried all 13 of his children during his life. For that reason, the next Ger Rebbe after Chedushim was the Sfas Emes, who was A, very young. He was also Chedushim's grandson. He wasn't his son. Chedushim lost all his children. Chassidim say that he was at the Levaya of one of his, maybe his last child, and he was at the point already where he couldn't anymore. He turned to the Rebbe and said, Kenshinish, I mean, how much could one person handle? He said he just couldn't do it anymore. And she turned to him and she said that, you know, they say, it's a Meyer, you don't realize what an opportunity you have right now. You're a Rebbe. Your job is to show the people how a person's supposed to deal with a situation. He says, this is what people need. People need to know that even though they're going through a difficult situation, they'll be able to make it through as long as they have a moon and betochen and they go battle with the right hashkafas. You're being given an opportunity now to fear the greatest tish of all time, to show the world that no matter how difficult your situation is, still you're going to be able to go about it with a moon and betochen, half of a fella. I'll just tell you, at the end of that sicha, at the very end, Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz, he digresses a little bit. The name of the sicha, I think it's Maimer Yudches in the new Sichas Musars. The name of the sicha is Chaviv and Yisurim. And he quotes a Rashi that we missed when we went through, when we learned the Gemaras in the beginning of the week, the Gemaras that talk about Yavois HaMashiach. So the Gemara says, if you remember, Rav said, if you would ask me, I think Mashiach is either Rabbeinu HaKadosh or he's Daniel Ish Chamudos. Why Rabbeinu HaKadosh or Daniel Ish Chamudos? Says Rashi, read to Rashi. In Mashiach Ma'osen Shechayim, if Mashiach is one of the people that are alive, Vaday Hainu Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Rav said, it's for sure Rebbe. Why Rebbe? We didn't read this Rashi. The Seivil Tachluim, because Rebbe Kiyodua was a Bal Yisurim. The Chassid Gomer Hava, Kedamina Bebava Metziah. The Mhoye Moisim Shemesu, says Rashi, that Rav said that if Mashiach is not alive, he's Daniel Ishchamudai, Shen Nidoin Bi Yisurim, who also had Yisurim, Beguva Arayas, the Chassid Gomer Hai. Unbelievable. Rashi throws in, where'd Rashi know this from? That's the Tzad HaShava between Rabbeinu HaKadosh and Daniel Ishchamudai. He was a Bal Yisurim, but Al Koponim says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz that Mashiach is going to be a Bal Yisurim. He says, you know why? Because Mashiach is someone that's going to be a leader. He's going to be a manik, and the people that need leaders most are the people that are suffering. And really, in order for someone to understand the suffering of the people, he has to suffer himself. That's why when Yeshua ben Levi asked Eliyahu HaNavi, where's Mashiach? Where did he tell him? He's at the gates of Rome. Go to the gates of Rome. They're going to be Chaylim over there. He's one of the Chaylim. Why do you have to be a Chaylim? Why do you have to be Rabbeinu HaKadosh? Why do you have to be Daniel Ishchamudos? Because only then can he relate to his people, and only then can he be a man. But the point is, it's Tafka, that person that needs the Rebbe more than anybody else. When do people go to a rebbe? When they have a tzara, when they're dealing with something, when things are knocking, that's, then everything is fine. It's when people have an issue. That was what Rabbi Akiva was telling Rabbi Eliezer. He was telling Rabbi Eliezer, you're our rebbe, we need you, Klal Yisrael needs you. But Chaviv and Yisurin realized what an opportunity, the ultimate optimist, Rabbi Akiva, was able to see this hafla of a fella. This is classic Rabbi Chaim Shmulev. It's either way, a trap more Gemara, Zokta Gemara, Tanu Rabbanu, Shleish Shabbo, Balilo. There were three people that they came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they spoke sharf. Eluhe and Kayin, Esav, Umenasha, and Rashi says it worked. Kayin dechsev, Godel Avoinim Inasai. Hashem tells Kayin, you killed Hevel, it's over, you're done. He said, really? Godel Avoinim Inasai? That's it. Hashem, there's nothing in your repertoire that can help create me out of this mess. It's a good time. Really? I can't believe it. Amalafanav, Bibayna Shalaylam. He told him, "Klum Godel Avayim Mishishim Ribesh Asiz Nachdel Lefanacha." Right, and my averus worth 600,000 Yidden are going to do averus. The ego, this is worse than that. Atiselech lehem Esav always Esav's tainted. Dechsev Abracha Achasilo Chaavi. Yitzchak's going to give brachas. Yaakov takes the brachas. Esav thought he was going to get it, and all of a sudden Esav tells his father, "Really, you have one bracha? You can't give me another bracha." And Menashe as well. But Chilak Karlo Kus Habi. Menashe had all the saras. He started davening to all the avodah zarah. The avodah zarah didn't listen. Ulu b'soif Karlo like Yisrael. Then afterwards, he went to Hashem, and obviously, Hashem helped him. So what was the taina? The taina was he told the Kadosh Baruch Hu that if you're not going to help me in my situation, then you're going to end up looking like the avodah zarah. Just like the avodah zarah didn't help me, so you're also not helping me. So he put Hashem in a position where he felt compelled to help. Abishol said, if someone recites the Shem Havaya, he too has no chelik in the Lamabot. Tano, ubagvulin, ubaloshanaga. This is only true if he does it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, because in the Beis HaMikdash, they used to recite the Shem of the Kodesh Baruch. But it sounds like even if a person would do it maybe when he's not supposed to do it, but as long as he does it in the Beis HaMikdash, it's not to the point where he's saying the chelik in the Lamabot, ubaloshanaga, which means in a foreign language. So we have to know what that means. Either way, the Gemara now is going to shift its attention, and it's going to go into the examples that were given in the Mishnah of people that don't have chelik in Olam Haba. So the Mishnah started off, Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelik in Olam Haba. Ve'elu she'en lam chelik in Olam Haba. And then the Gemara said, Shloshim melachim, v'arba hidyoitos, ein lam chelik in Olam Haba. So the next few black Gemara are going to discuss the three kings that don't have chelik in Olam Haba. And who are they? Yeravam, Achav, Umenasha. And we will pick that up, Yerz Hashem, the next stuff.